This is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based healthcare. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
Hello, welcome to the show, everyone. For those of you who are first-time listeners, this is Wellness 101. It's a show designed to provide common sense, science-based strategies for a healthy life. I'm your host, Dr. TJ Williams, and with me, as always, is Aaron. And today's topic is weight loss. And I know quite a bit about weight loss, and so getting ready for the show and prepping for it, I told Aaron, hey, Aaron, why don't you go and research a little bit about weight loss and information out there. Tell them a little bit about your experience there, Aaron.
Well, and not the actual, I mean, you know, we had already discussed kind of what studies were out there and what information we wanted to get out. But I really wanted to look at what are the most common questions that people have and what are the things people really want to hear about, because to be honest, there's just so much that we could potentially talk about when it comes to weight loss. And I was just appalled at the information that is out there from what seems like reputable sources.
It's atrocious.
Things that are completely contradictory to what all of the studies show. And I just think, well, no wonder people are having such trouble losing weight, because I've never believed, just from my own personal experience and seeing those around me, I have never believed that this is a lack of, you know, people trying, a lack of determination, a lack of willpower. That isn't the reason why so many people are having trouble losing weight and are way more than what they wish that they did. I think it's, well, there are a lot of issues that we're going to get into, but a big part of it, a bigger part of it than what I had realized, is that there's just really bad information out there.
Yes, it's terrible.
So,
and it's everywhere. Everywhere you look, it's bad information.
Well,
bad information here.
I was surprised. I mean, some of the places don't really surprise me, because you know that, you know, big food companies are going to try to tell you, well, this is just personal responsibility. I mean, these aren't bad calories. You just need to, you know, have some self-control and not eat so much. I mean, that takes all of the pressure off of them and all the responsibility off of them and puts it on the consumer. That in itself is ridiculous. But I think then there are also these women's magazines and fitness magazines that you think, why would they not have decent information? And I don't know if it's just that it's perpetuated by, you know, all of these big sources. I mean, clearly these big food companies are going to have more money to put the information out there than the local organic farmer. That was shocking to me. It was shocking that some of the places that I thought would have actually done some of the research, but still had the same bad information. So that was a really long way of saying today we are going to try to tell you what you actually need to know, as much as we possibly can get through, and what things could be keeping you from losing weight when you are doing all of the things that most people think would help you lose weight.
Right. Yeah, I have a lot of patients that come into the clinic and they just look at me and say, okay, Dr. TJ, here's the deal. I've eliminated foods that I believe to be toxic. I exercise all the time and I live a healthy lifestyle, but I haven't been able to lose anywhere close to the amount of weight that I want to lose. Well, guess what? Welcome to the 21st century, because that is what we have to deal with. It's so common, and I just can't express how frustrated people come in. And it's either this or them saying they just can't motivate themselves to work out. So we either have people on one side saying, I'm doing absolutely everything I possibly can to lose weight and be as healthy as possible, and it's not working. Or we have other people on the flip side saying, well, I just can't even motivate myself because of, like what Aaron was talking about, there's so much information out there that I don't know what to do and I don't know where to turn, and I'm completely lost. So I understand how frustrating it can become. especially when you feel like you've tried everything. For those out there that have just tried absolutely everything, made a conscious decision for the healthy lifestyle, cut out the toxic triggers, eliminated sugar. That's a huge one for a lot of people. Most people have a really hard time with that. And eating all the right types of foods.
Or, I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt.
No, go
ahead. Or there are a lot of people who feel like, I know I'm supposed to avoid these things, but I can't. Like, there are these intense cravings for sugar or carbs, and I just don't have any willpower, which, again, is a great way for the big companies to have you feel, because then you feel worse about yourself, and what do? You go and eat more sugar and carbs. I mean, they're making money at your expense, but it isn't entirely about personal responsibility. I mean, it's very little about personal responsibility. There are biological reasons why you're having trouble losing weight.
Yeah, there are. And three of the big ones that we talk about at the clinic, at our clinic, is nutritional deficiencies, food sensitivities, and hormones. And we're going to talk about all of them. We're going to start with nutritional deficiencies. People, I just can't express how frustrating it is for, I believe, for the general population out there and you listeners, that it's possible that a nutritional deficiency is creating a problem losing weight. And it's not, you know, I just want to impress, it's not just one nutritional deficiency, it's global nutrient deficiencies, okay? I mean, studies show that deficiencies are more widespread than you could even imagine. I mean, I read once a study somewhere, and I'm pulling this out of the ether. Most adults in the country have nutritional deficiencies that even taking a multivitamin could help to eliminate. And that's how broad the research is. We're not talking about research that's diving into like one little bitty thing. This is broad general research. I mean, American diets do not have enough magnesium, vitamin C, vitamin E, B vitamins, vitamin A. I mean, the vast majority of people who are eating enough of these aren't even absorbing them due to gut dysfunction.
And I just want to, and I'm sorry, I feel like I keep interrupting you. I want to just jump back really quick and say the reason why this is so important. Of course, we all want to be healthy, but just looking from a weight loss perspective, there is absolutely no way that your metabolism can work if you do not have the basic nutrients that your body needs to run.
Right. You have to have the fuel. And I have a nice car example. Hopefully I get to it later because, you know, how much I love car and house examples. But let's just look at one nutrient for just a second. Let's look at vitamin D. Over 80% of Americans have low vitamin D levels. In fact, the national average for vitamin D in this country is 27. The lower medical limit for vitamin D is 30. And we all know, well, those of us in the functional medicine realm know that in order for vitamin D to actually be beneficial to a human, the vitamin D levels in the body need to be at least 65. That's where we start getting benefits.
Right. I mean, you have to remember that the medical range is a really poor way of looking at what, you know, how much of a nutrient that you should have.
Yes. Think medical range. Think I'm trying to just barely stave off a life-threatening disease. I'm nowhere close to trying to live optimal, healthy, functioning life.
Right. So if 80% of Americans have medically low vitamin D levels, that's really scary.
It's pitiful.
Plus, what we've seen now is pharmaceutical companies who have come out with vitamin D supplements, and then doctors are prescribing that, which
doesn't work.
Most of us have dysfunctional guts, so you're not actually getting any of it, but they're making more money off of giving you something that seems like it's going to fix your vitamin D problem. And that's just, like you'd said, one example of a vitamin that we're extremely deficient in.
Right. That's just one. I mean, the list is long and plentiful. Go ahead. I gave her a research. I said, hey, look this stuff up. She's got more information. She's like ready to jump in and now we have some other
You're
people.
You're worried when she doesn't talk, but now yeah. She wants to talk today.
It's exactly right.
Exactly.
I love it. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
It's talk too much or
right.
Talk too little. I don't know.
Unfortunately, I could probably go like 4 or 5 hours and talk about this because there's just so much information. But I also want to point out that a lot of people are getting, you know, they'll get a blood panel from their doctor. They'll go in for a physical and say, well, I don't have any nutrient deficiencies, my doctor checked it. And that is so, I mean, it gives you a false sense of security because that does not mean that you are where you need to be. Chances are they're not checking what they actually need to check. Or even if they do, that just means that you aren't so low that it's going to cause a serious disease. Doesn't mean your metabolism is going to work.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, speaking of metabolism, I mean, we're talking, simply put, we're overfed and undernourished. It's very simple that we're overfed and undernourished. And most people, the obese ones for sure, and probably the overweight ones, are all undernourished. And it sounds crazy. It's like, well, how can I possibly be undernourished if I'm overfed? But just because you're getting way too much food doesn't mean that you're actually getting the right nutrients. In fact, it's probably the exact opposite. Overeating can create nutritional deficiencies. You can easily eat way too many calories and get too few nutrients. I mean, you could eat a whole bag of potato chips and get very little nutritional value out of that. It's very simple to do.
Right.
So, I mean, all these highly processed foods are just, they're horrible for us. We have to have vitamins and minerals to process the calories. You just have to. Low nutrients equals poorly functioning metabolism.
Right. If you don't have the nutrients that you need, your metabolism is not going to function. And I know you've seen this many times where people have come in for IV nutrition and end up losing a significant amount of weight just because they end up getting the nutrients they need to get their metabolism working again.
Right. Right. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, their system just kicks in and turns on and the motor inside of them starts working and they start burning all these things and the weight literally falls off.
Yeah. And I want to, again, just kind of take a step back and say, I mean, this is how crazy it is that all of this weight loss information is out there. This is what, you know, you need to do. You need to be counting macros and, you know, limiting this. And all you actually need, or, you know, in some cases, all they need are the basic nutrients that anybody needs to function. So it doesn't have to be that difficult.
Right. It's not that difficult. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish up talking about this. And we're going to move on a little bit to food sensitivities and hormones as we continue our journey through weight loss. You're listening to Wellness 101. Everyone, this is Wellness 101. We're talking about weight loss today, and Erin has had more to say today than she's had to say in the last, I don't know, since this show's been going on. It's been kind of glorious.
Yeah, well, and I'll say this, I really kind of pushed to do a show on weight loss, and I know that Dr. TJ, I mean, he always says, you know, that's not what he does. He's not a weight loss doctor. And yet, over and over and over, there have been all of these patients who are losing a ton of weight after they go to see him. And so, you know, I'm like, you're just kind of an accidental weight loss doctor because that isn't what you're trying to do. But, you know, shockingly, that's what happens when people get healthy is because...
Shocking. It's just shocking. It's earth-shattering news.
Because people who
are... We need Tom Brokaw in here announcing how amazing this news is.
Well, people who are overweight are not healthy. That doesn't mean you have to be skinny. But if you are overweight, there's something going on. And if you are healthy, you are not going to be overweight. And again, I'm not talking about, you know, well, you have a few pounds more than what you want. This is talking about, I mean, that you have quite a bit of weight on you that you know should not be there. There is a health issue. It's not just, you know, it's not just weight. That's not the only problem going on. And I know there are a lot of people who can say, you know, will say, well, just because someone's, you know, thin doesn't mean they're healthy. Totally true. I mean, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Yeah,
true, but I can guarantee you if you're overweight, you're not healthy.
Right, exactly. I mean,
I can pretty much guarantee it.
It doesn't mean that the two aren't related at all. It just, yeah, I mean, so having extra weight and being unhealthy go together, period.
Right. Well, and we were talking earlier about foods, and I read this or heard someone else say it one time, and it really stuck. And I tell a lot of my patients this. So when you go to the grocery store and you're walking through and you're looking at all the items, and then you come to the, quote, health food section, what does that make the rest of the food in the grocery store?
Right.
I mean, seriously, what? Yeah. I mean, that's sad.
But I think a lot of people look at health food as, you know, bad tasting food. You know, like, people think that that is just, you know, for people who are overly concerned about health, and until they get sick and they find out that this is what they need to be eating.
Right,
for the
and
most part.
Seven of the top 10 top killers in America are chronic diseases that could have been prevented by eating those, quote, health foods.
Right, exactly.
Saving billions, if not trillions of dollars on our healthcare spending. And here's another thing. The average American consumes 152 pounds of sugar and 146 pounds of flour, which is basically sugar,
right,
every single year. So we're basically eating a pound of sugar a day, and we're expecting to be healthy eating that way. Baffling. Just completely baffling.
Right. And again, I want to say that, you know, what we want to do, at least at the beginning of the show, and hopefully we'll get to more, is to go through, I mean, there are three big things that I feel like are not out there in the media that are huge roadblocks to the ability to lose weight. And we've talked about nutritional deficiencies. That's certainly one. We're also going to talk about food sensitivities and hormones, because these are three things that it doesn't matter what your willpower is. It doesn't matter how hard you try, that these things are going to make it extremely difficult, if not impossible, to lose the weight that you want to lose.
Right. And we talk about food sensitivities a lot on this show, but it's so important. It's a very common reason for people to not be able to lose weight.
Well, let's finish up with nutritional deficiencies.
Oh, I was ready to go to food sensitivities.
Well, we did want to say that we've talked about it before, that IVs are the best way to get the nutrients into your body. I know we're going on to food sensitivities next, and we've talked about leaky gut on the show before. There are a lot of reasons why, if you're taking oral supplements, they're not going to actually be able to be used by your body. They won't be able to make it through your gut and get where they need to go. So IVs are the gold standard for, in today's society, unfortunately, you know, with oral supplements, with people having dysfunctional guts, IVs are going to be the best way to get it. But oral supplements of nutrients are also a way to do it and get the nutrients that you need to get your metabolism working again.
Yeah, it's a slower process if you're choosing not to use IV nutrition, which is fine. Some people they just don't want to do it, and that's okay.
Yeah, but
oral
you have
nutrition,
to first fix your gut.
Yeah, you have to fix your gut. You have to fix these nutritional deficiencies. And oral nutrition is just a slower way of doing something, but you have to make sure that you're getting good, high-quality nutritional supplements. They're not all equal, just like cars aren't equal, just like houses aren't equal. Nutritional supplements are not equal. They just aren't.
Yeah, those that have the huge marketing campaigns behind them are probably making money off of the supplements, and that's just from what we have seen, and the
poor forms,
yes,
of supplements. I mean, the form
of
the nutrient. Yep.
And so, I mean, I know that, and again, that's another reason why I get frustrated with the information out there, because people will say, well, I'm taking a multivitamin. I'm taking this brand from, you know, Walgreens or CVS, or, you know, that I've seen commercials and they say it's the best for people my age, and trust me, it's not.
Yeah,
it's I can
not.
Guarantee if you've seen a commercial on TV about your supplement, that should be a sign that you shouldn't be taking it. It's that simple.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of poor nutritional supplements out there. There are a lot of high quality ones though too.
Yes.
You just have to know where to look, and finding a good reputable source, that's what is most important. So, Are we ready to move on to food
sensitivities? Yes, let's move on to food sensitivities.
Okay. Here we go. All right, so food sensitivities, we talk about it a lot on the show. It's very important. It's a big reason why people can't lose weight. When we're sensitive to a food, that's basically our immune system reacting to that food. And when our immune system reacts, we create inflammation. And it's very hard to put out the fire of inflammation when we continue to eat foods that we're sensitive to. You know, there's more and more research. There's actually recent research from Ivy League schools that are talking about leaky gut and gut dysfunction and food sensitivities and how these things all play together. So, you know, I've worked on and figured out some relatively easy, effective treatments based on understanding how the gut works, how the immune system works, how we detoxify things, why, you know, how this impacts our hormones, and how these things are all connected. There's powerful, powerful evidence that suggests that addressing these key causes of weight gain can help shed pounds. I mean, I've watched patients in the clinic lose big amounts of weight just by cutting out the foods that they're sensitive to. 20, 30 pounds fall off people just by balancing out their gut. It's really not that difficult.
Right. And I know that we say food sensitivities, that isn't the only, I mean, I guess we probably should have labeled this, you know, like fixing your gut.
Yeah.
Because food sensitivities are a huge cause of that, but there are also, I mean, we've talked about leaky gut. There are also
gut inflammation.
Yeah. And problems with parasites, candida, and yeast. And I want to say that all of these things, food sensitivities, parasites, candida,
small intestinal bowel overgrowth.
Yeah, they make you crave foods that you shouldn't be eating.
Especially sugar.
Yeah, and so there is, you know, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, that there are so many people out there, I hear this constantly from friends of mine, that my issue isn't that, you know, it's some hormone problem. My issue is that I can't put down the candy or something. And I'm thinking, there's a reason why, because it's not like I never want to eat sweets or anything, but I don't have those cravings because I have my food sensitivities. You know, my gut has been fixed and it makes a huge difference. It really does, because I used to have cravings like that. And so if it's extremely difficult for you to stay away from those things, well, and I know this is a caveat, first of all, get them out of your house, because I say that I don't have cravings for them, but I know that I will eat them if they are around me. And especially, you know, I might be able to avoid them at the office if somebody has it. But if I'm by myself alone at night, that sounds really kind of depressing.
That was kind of sad.
But I'm just saying,
this is why we normally don't let her talk so much.
But I mean, yeah. So if I am wanting a snack late at night and I have.
And no one else is around.
And
just
I'm crying
me and the dogs.
By myself. then I reach for cookies. So, but I think that's normal. You just need to make sure that it's not around you.
Right.
Because, I mean, and I know, because Dr. GJ has said to me before, well, you have to have some willpower. And I'm like, okay, then I don't have willpower. I don't really care. Like, that doesn't, it is what it is. I can't have it around me. So.
Right. And most people are the exact same way. If it's not there, you don't. I mean, it's like raising little kids. If you don't want them to do something, you distract their attention over here. If you don't want them to eat bad foods, you just don't bring it into the house. It's very, very simple. You just don't bring it in. And so the question that kind of comes into play with foods and this whole gut health and everything is this, you know, what's first, inflammation or obesity? And, you know, gut inflammation is huge. And I've always believed that inflamed happens first and then weight gain comes on second, which then perpetuates more inflammation. And so the cycle is just a vicious cycle. And the one thing that all disease processes in the human body have in common is inflammation. And we have lots of research now that's showing this.
Right, that shows that inflammation comes first.
Yes, inflammation comes first, and inflammation is perpetuating obesity, and obesity is perpetuating inflammation. This is just a big cycle. And then we eat highly processed, high sugar, very high, quote, bad fat foods with low fiber diets, and we're on lots of drugs, antibiotics, steroids, anti-inflammatories, acid blockers, hormones, and these things are just completely ripping up our gut's ecosystem.
Right.
Gut bacteria just destroyed.
And I agree with you, but at the same time, I want to say that my big push on this show is not, you know, for the people who are eating those things and are taking a lot of medications, I want to say there's still a lot of hope. You don't have to just assume this is the way that you have to live. But also, this show is directed at the people who are not taking a lot of medications and are eating what they think are healthy foods.
Unless you test, there's no way to know if it's healthy for you.
Right. And that's kind of the point, is that there are still these hidden roadblocks that could be preventing you from losing weight. So I really wanted this to be a show for not just, you know, the common sense things, but the things that you may not know about that could be causing a problem.
Well, we've got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about hormones. This is Wellness 101.
Can't have it, oh, I can hardly stand it. Oh, what's a man to do?
This is Wellness 101.
Well, welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in, this is Dr. TJ. I'm from the Institute of Natural Health, and this is Wellness 101. Today, we're talking about weight loss. And, well, I say we're talking. Aaron's mostly talking. I've just kind of set back and gone on cruise control. Aaron, what would you like to talk about next?
Well, first of all, I want to say that we were talking about having an unhealthy gut, and that an unhealthy gut makes us fat and sick because it makes us toxic and inflamed and bloated.
Bloated is good.
And
gassy and constipated and having diarrhea. We can talk about it all.
But not necessarily, because I didn't have any of those things and I had a gut that wasn't functioning. So, I mean, it can cause a lot of different problems. But I wanted to just hit on what can you actually do? And of course, if you can get a food sensitivity test, that's the best and fastest way to do it, simply because you're kind of just playing the lottery if you don't get them checked, as far as, well, are you actually eating things that are healthy for you, or are the foods that you're eating that you think are health foods actually causing you the biggest problems?
And there's no way to know, for people who aren't familiar with food sensitivity testing, there's no way to know, because these foods can affect our body up to 4 days later. So we're talking very, very delayed reactions, and there's no possible way you're going to put a reaction that you have today on a food that you ate 3 or 4 days ago. That's just not how our brains work. We're not wired that way.
Right. And I recently had a friend who had food sensitivity testing. I've been suggesting this for a long time. And she found out that, because she'd been trying to lose weight and hadn't been able to, and found out that the eggs that she was eating every morning, she was making an omelet with spinach and I don't remember what else, but I remember eggs and spinach were both huge sensitivities. She was eating salads for lunch and she was allergic to the greens and lettuce. I mean, she was doing all of the things that you think you are supposed to be doing to lose weight. And it just so happened that those were the foods that were her big issue. And part of that is bad luck. And part of that is actually, if you're eating foods over and over, you have a higher likelihood to become sensitive to them.
Right.
So
it happens a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of people get really frustrated when they see their foods and what they eat all the time is the stuff that they're really, really sensitive to. And once they switch, they're actually amazed at all the things that are going on in their body that they maybe weren't even really conscious of.
Right.
Go
skin
away.
Problems,
yeah.
Joint pain, this things that, yeah, they wouldn't have thought, migraines, you know, headaches.
Waking up in the middle of the night.
Anxiety, depression.
Now we sound like we're just rattling
ADHD
off symptoms.
I know. There are so many things that can be caused by this. But so, okay, if you can get a food sensitivity test, that's the best way to go. If you can't, there is a slower way to do it, and it is more difficult. But I just want to throw this out for people who just are like, I don't know where to get a food sensitivity test, or I don't have the money to spend on it. It's going to be more difficult, but eliminate the biggest triggers for food sensitivities for at least a month and see how you feel. And those, I would say, and Dr. Shija, you can tell me if there are others, gluten, dairy, eggs, corn, yeast, peanuts, soy.
That's pretty comprehensive.
I mean, and I know that sounds like a lot, and that's why, personally, if you can get the food sensitivity test, tons easier and faster. But I know that that's not going to be doable for everyone. So if you cut out those huge allergens and eat a whole food, plant-based, high-fiber diet, see how you feel, and see if it makes a difference. And there, I'm sure there are places other than the Institute of Natural Health that do food sensitivity testing. So make sure you get a test done that tests a lot of different foods, tests for IgG and IgA. But we're not pushing the Institute. And I know that I had said this before when we were promoting the fact that we're doing
this. I don't care where you go. Just go get help.
Right.
I mean, we're at a crossroads
out there.
We're at a crossroads in the country. I mean, everyone knows how absurdly sick the United States is. 66% of the population is overweight or obese. This is just insane.
Right.
We're 37th in overall health. There are undeveloped countries or it's not undeveloped. Anyway, there are, like, Slovenia is ahead of us in health, for crying out loud. Slovenia.
What do you have against Slovenia?
I don't have anything against Slovenia, but I would think that we are farther along in our medical capabilities than Slovenia, which was, you know, I just think that we're healthier than Slovenia.
But we're not.
I mean, we should be healthier than France and Britain and Canada and all these other countries, but we're not. We're dead
not.
Last
yeah.
in all those.
Right. Yeah. No, our whole point with this, and we've kind of went back and forth about this when we were figuring out what, you know, whether to do this as a show, is we didn't want it to come across at all like we are selling anything, because our main goal is to just get the information out there and let people do what they want to do with it. So let's move on to hormones.
Okay. All right. So hormones, they can easily affect weight as well, and an inability to lose weight. They're often overlooked, but I do want to caution them as well. I've had a lot of patients come in and tell me that their hormones, they walk in like, hey, doc, my hormones are completely out of whack. I need help with my hormones. Can you help me? And you know what? They may be completely correct. The problem is, I'm not a big fan of just jumping right in and fixing hormones. It takes a lot of nutrients to make hormones. We have to have a lot of things that are actually working the way they're supposed to actually be able to make and manufacture hormones, right? So a lot of people have the hormone imbalances, but they have other things going on. They have inflammation. They have nutritional imbalances. They have leaky gut. They may have environmental toxins in their system. And if we just jump in and try to fix the hormones without addressing these other key components first, we're basically just a dog chasing its tail. And I mean, we have an inflammatory fire. It's like trying to throw a thimble full of water on a forest fire. It's really not going to do us a bit of good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, hormones play a role, but a lot of other things usually need to be addressed as well. If your testosterone is in the tank, it's not just because you have low testosterone. You likely are not eating anywhere near enough good, healthy fats, and you're eating entirely too much sugar. Those are two massive factors in testosterone levels.
Right. But even if, I mean, in my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we're talking about here things that if you're doing everything else correctly, hormones could still be a problem.
They could.
Is that true? So, I mean,
if you've done absolutely everything possible and hormones are still an issue, then yeah, we need to address the hormones.
Right.
And then
they
we got to go
from losing weight.
Right. And then we got to go after the right ones. We have to go after thyroid hormones. They're really important because they help us regulate our metabolism. And there's a lot of nutrients that are important for a thyroid to function properly. We got to have enough things like selenium. We got to have zinc. We got to have omega-3 fatty acids. We got to have iodine. These are just some things that are necessary for a properly functioning thyroid. We've got to look at cortisol, which is our, quote, stress hormone. I mean, this thing affects digestion and our metabolism. It'll slow digestion if it gets too high. And then we have to look at our sex hormone imbalances, and keeping our gut healthy matters. I mean, these are things like DHEA and androstenedione and testosterone and all three of the estrogens. We've got to pay attention to that. Both men and women deal with excess estrogen. We're exposed to a lot of xenoestrogens, and eating too much carbohydrates and too many sugars and drinking too much alcohol, all those things raise our estrogen levels, which throw everything out of balance when that happens. And when testosterone's low, having low testosterone accelerates aging. So there is a very important thing here when we're trying to deal with hormones is looking at all of them, looking at them, you know, totally encompassing the body and really trying to figure out what's going on. Is one driving the other and vice versa?
Right. And I think one of the reasons why we put this on here, why it is such a huge issue, is that mainstream medicine is generally not doing a good job helping with hormones. But then at the same time, because of that, and because there has been such a big problem, there are all of these alternative medicine practitioners out there who are also saying, hey, come to us and we'll fix your hormones. And they're, you know, they may be two different ends of, you know, the spectrum, but neither is correct, or neither could be correct. So you really need to make sure you're going to someone who understands this, because they could mess you up, you know, and you'll have a worse problem than what you had before. You need to make sure that you get, you know, like with thyroid, for example, you need to get a full thyroid panel. And I know we've done a show on thyroid. You can go back and listen to that. It's on the website about what tests actually need to be ran as far as thyroid. But then also, there are so many people who are on a synthetic thyroid supplement.
Hormone.
That does them absolutely no good. And they are still having trouble losing weight. They, you know, are tired a lot, but it's funny because a lot of them just cling to that. Well, no, I mean, I have to take this thyroid medicine, and maybe you need something that has, you know, not just T4 in it.
profound. You know profound. I mean?
It's amazing.
Shocking.
And, yeah.
Again.
I know that it's just a lot of people don't want to, you know, try something different, but it can make a huge difference. So hormones could be a problem if you've tried everything else.
All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about four big food lies that can make you fat and sick. You're listening to Wellness 101.
Am I the only living soul around? Need to believe you could.
This is Wellness 101.
Welcome back. Talking about weight loss today. While we come into a little Joan Jett there, gotta love Joan Jett for on a nice, lovely Sunday. So we were talking before we left about that we were going to talk about the four myths that we have. I'm going to sidetrack for just a second. I want to talk about the idea that we're dealing with possibly addiction. And the reason is because if we look at the DSM-5, okay, so the DSM-5 stands for the Diagnostic and Statistics Manual for Mental Disorders. This is the American Psychiatric Association's gold standard for diagnosing mental disorders, including addiction. And we look at the things that are defined as addiction, things like taking the substance in larger amounts for longer than you meant to, wanting to cut down or stop but not managing to, spending a lot of time getting, using, or recovering from use of the substance, cravings and urges to use the substance. I mean, lots of people have cravings and urges to eat cookies and cakes and candies, not managing to do what you should at work, home, or school because of the substance, continuing to use even when it causes problems in relationships, giving up important social, occupational, or recreational activities because of substance abuse. The list is long and plentiful, but they pretty much all apply. So basically, people are addicted to food. If we can help people by eating healthy foods, people don't get addicted to eating broccoli. People don't get addicted to eating apples. You don't sit down and eat a pound of broccoli or 2 pounds of broccoli. You don't sit down and eat a bushel of apples. But people easily sit down and eat a pile of potato chips and a whole pint of ice cream and things like that. We can do better if we pay attention to that. I just want to throw that out there. Aaron's looking at me like, I can't believe you threw this out there.
We had 10 minutes to get through like 40 minutes of information. And then
there's
you're
no
like,
way
oh, let me add this in
There's
too.
No way we're going to get through this. We're going to have to come back and talk later. It's not a big deal.
All right. Well, where do you want to go?
All right. Myth one, all calories are created equal. Ready, go. Oh, she's looking at me like, I don't even know where to start. So basically, this is saying that a calorie is a calorie, and it's not, okay? this myth is it keeps people from getting and staying healthy, and it also keeps people from losing weight. Many people believe as long as you burn more calories than you consume, that you'll be able to lose weight. And the multi-billion-dollar weight loss industry is perpetuating this myth and relying on you to believe that for it to stay afloat. So, I mean, it makes no sense. 2,000 calories of muffins is different than 2,000 calories of healthy foods.
Healthy meat and vegetables,
fruits, and things like that. It just makes no sense. There are good and bad calories. Your body's way more complex than that.
Right. And I think that, you know, the whole Weight Watchers mentality of, you know, let's see how many calories this is and keep it, you know, keep what we're eating under a certain amount of calories is, I mean, it's a good baby step in the right direction. So what I will say is that, I mean, because Dr. Chigi and I have discussed this and he has said, you know, that makes absolutely no sense. And what I will say is that I feel like it is a good tool for a lot of people who have absolutely no idea how many calories certain foods have because it makes you aware. And then all of a sudden you can say, oh, wait, I didn't know that had so many calories in it. That isn't going to be worth it to me. So in that respect, it's good. But that's like the kindergarten of weight loss. And if you stay there, you're not going to, I mean, long term, you're not going to be healthy. You're not going to keep the weight off.
Right. Are we ready to go to myth two?
Sure.
Okay. So myth two, your genetics define you and your health. Complete and utter hogwash. Okay. So a lot of even conventional doctors still believe that we're predisposed to weight gain due to family history. So in other words, if your mom is fat and your grandma's fat, you're going to be fat too. And you just drew the fat card or the diabetes card or whatever else in the genetic lottery. And that is garbage. You are not predisposed due to genetics to be fat. It just doesn't work that way. We learn our habits from the people that we are closest to. So if your mom ate horrible and your grandma ate horrible, guess what? You're going to eat horrible too, because those are learned behaviors, and that has a lot more to do with it, with weight gain than genetics. You're just not genetically predisposed to do that.
Right. And I want to say, I mean, when I was researching this, what the research has shown is there are 32 obesity-associated genes in the general population, and they account for only 9% of obesity cases. So even if you had all 32 of the obesity genes, you would put on about 22 pounds.
22, ladies and gentlemen, 22.
So for those of you who are saying that this is the reason why you are so heavy, there is a lot more to it.
Right. And it's not our genes changing or anything. Our genes change about 2% over the course of 20,000 years. And we're seeing this uptick in obesity in the last 50 years. And it's insane. It just, our genes can't keep up. This isn't a genetic thing. This is a poor quality food thing.
Right.
And poor gut health and bad environment thing.
Yeah. About 35% Americans are obese today. And that's not overweight, obese. And that number is going to rise over 50% by 2050. So it's not a genetic problem.
Right. It is a 152 pounds of sugar and 140 some pounds of flour problem.
Right. These are pharmacological doses of sugar and flour.
I mean, exactly. They're affecting everything. All right. Myth three, you can out-exercise a bad diet. There's no pill, powder, or potion we can give you that can do more for you than a good quality diet can.
Right. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't be getting, you know, some movement into your day. But if you do that and then drink a bunch of Gatorade, it's not going, you're not going to lose weight. It just isn't going to happen.
Right. You can't eat just crap and then expect to go out and be able to exercise and the weight just falls off. It doesn't work that way. That's what we've talked about this whole show, is eating poorly causes the gut to be inflamed, causes us to gain weight, which causes us to be inflamed. It's just a vicious circle.
And in some ways, it makes things worse, because here you are not giving your body what it needs to function and then requiring it to function more by working out heavily.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, be kind to your body.
We're emptying the tank and then asking it to do more.
Right.
Yeah, it's silly. All right, myth four, fat makes you fat. Couldn't be farther from the truth. Fat does not make you fat.
Bad fat. Yes. Can make you fat.
Bad fat can make you fat. That's a good point. But good, healthy fats do not make you fat. Studies that compare high fat, identical in calorie count to a high sugar diet, totally different effects on the metabolism. High fat caused people to burn an extra 300 calories a day. That's like running for an hour. It's just crazy.
Right. But I mean, again, this is good fats because I don't want this to come across as us saying, you know, you eating, you know, McDonald's every day.
Trans fats, right. Just garbage, I mean, canola oil, vegetable oil, terrible stuff.
That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about good
olive
fats.
Olive oil and coconut oil. Avocado oil. These are good, healthy fats. Yeah. So, all right. Is there anything else that we want to touch on here? We've hit the four myths.
Right. And just I'd like to recap those. The things that we just talked about was it's not just calories in, calories out. It is not about your genetics. There are a lot of factors that contribute to obesity, but the least of them is your genetics. You can't out-exercise a bad diet, and it isn't that fat makes you fat. That isn't the problem. And then the hidden triggers that we talked about at the beginning of the show were nutritional deficiencies, food sensitivities, or other gut dysfunction.
Yeah, gut health overall.
Yeah, and then problems with your hormones. And those are three of the things that I think it's crazy that those aren't talked about more because, you know, those are, I think, the three biggest keys to weight loss.
Right. So that's about all the time we have for today. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. If you have questions, please visit our Facebook page at the Institute of Natural Health. Go to our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. You can message us or follow us on all of our social media outlets. You can call us. Our number is 314-293-8123. For Wellness 101 and Aaron, this is Dr. TJ. Thanks for listening. Long, it was with me.